And then, as the current picks you up, and you get closer and closer to the falls, thinking, I've changed my mind. I don't want to do this. There's no going back. There's no go. You can't, once that line is crossed, there's no going back. Do not reach the point of no return. Do not reach the point where your heart has become so hardened that it cannot be softened, it cannot be broken. We sing a song with the young people, and one of the beautiful songs that the young people like to sing says, "Break my heart, dear Lord. Tear the barriers down. Show me in convicting tears the glory of your crown. My heart is hard, my soul so weak. The ways of evil cut so deep. I need you, Lord, to come inside and gently break my heart." You know, we don't like to think of having our heart broken as something good. And it is always painful, but it can be good. Sometimes we need to have our heart broken so that it can be softened. In Luke chapter 18, there was one who is called, that we call the rich young ruler, who came to Jesus, and he asked him a question. He said, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" In Luke 18, verse 18. You see, he had an eye problem, and he had a heart problem. He wanted eternal life, but he didn't want to make the sacrifices needed to have it, because his heart had become saturated with his wealth and the things of this world, so that it was hardened to being a disciple of Christ. And after he and Jesus had a discourse about things in the law that he needed to obey, and he said, "I've done these things." And Jesus said, "You still lack one thing." Verse 22, he said, "Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." What an opportunity to follow Jesus. And the scripture says, "But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich." How sad. Oh, how sad. The world can entrap you. It cannot save you. Jesus then said how hard it is for those who have riches to enter into the kingdom of God, for it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't say he couldn't do it. He said it's very hard. Once you've gotten to the point to where you trust your riches, your heart becomes hardened to the gospel. But you know, it doesn't have to be wealth. There are any number of things that can harden our hearts to the extent that we will not repent, that we will not turn, that we will not be softened to the call of the Lord. It can be any number of things. We talked this morning about the need that we have for each other. And we can separate ourselves from the fellowship of the church to the point to where we believe we don't need it. And we can get to the point to where we feel self-sufficient and feel as if we don't need the Lord. Beware the callousness of sin. Sin will always take you further than you intended to go. It will keep you longer than you intended to stay. And it will cost you more than you ever intended to pay. Beware what sin can and will do to your heart. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, who have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. For those who teach that one cannot lose their salvation, they really have a problem with what the Word of God says here. And they say, well, this is, you know, if somebody falls away, they never were truly converted to start with. This scripture says that this person has become partaker of the Holy Spirit. That this person has tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. That this person has tasted the heavenly gift. This is a Christian. This is a child of God. How many times have you seen someone who was faithful, who was maybe leading in the church, someone who was strong, and then one day you look around and say, where do they go? Where do they go? Slowly they drifted away. They drifted into the world. And it may be that they were drifting long before we ever noticed them gone. Because folks, we can go through the actions when our heart is elsewhere. You could be sitting here listening to this sermon right now, singing praises to God, and be engaged in sin and just going through the motions. Be careful, child of God. Be careful, child of God. You could be falling away right now. We need to be aware of the danger. That's what beware means. Be aware. We need to be aware of the danger and be on guard for it, lest our conscience become seared and we reach the point of no return. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the scripture says, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. And they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Oh, it is so easy to listen to the world. And notice, have you ever related to this? They think it's strange that you don't run with them. How many times have you had family or friends, co-workers who say, what? What do you mean you don't drink? What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to go with us to the bar? What do you mean that surely you've got to be jesting? Everybody does it. What do you mean you've never cheated on your wife? Why? Everybody cheats on their wife. And if we're not careful, we start to listen to the lies of the world that are in the grips of Satan himself. We start to think, well, maybe I am a little weird. Maybe I am peculiar. Is that so bad? Doesn't the scripture call us a peculiar people? Isn't God glorified in our peculiarities? That we don't run with the world. And we are called out, we are sanctified, we are set apart for God's special purpose. We are about His glory. And He isn't glorified when we act like the world. The world allures, but it offers destruction. Oh yeah. Oh, the beer commercials, they'll paint a beautiful picture. Have you ever seen a beer commercial or a whiskey commercial? Or a wine commercial that showed the wino in the gutter? Or the man with a bottle in his hand sitting at a bar trying to drink his troubles away, and he's lost his home, he's lost his family, his wife has left him, his children have disowned him, because he had to choose between them and the bottle, and he chose the bottle because it had enslaved him. Brothers and sisters, rest assured, this path that you walk, the choice that you have made to be a disciple of Christ, it is by far the very best path that you could walk. The world has nothing to offer you. Oh, it looks good. It glitters like gold, but it is fool's gold. I would rather save myself for that beautiful city with streets of gold. So let's exhort one another to faithfulness. We need to. The world is pulling at us. The world is trying to get to us. And we need to exhort each other to faithfulness. As we read in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, which says, beware, there it is again, beware, be aware, there is the danger out there. Be watching, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest you be deceived, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. The world calls to us and says, come follow us. Everybody's doing it. But here's what Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Jesus said the crowd is wrong. Jesus said the crowd is headed to destruction. Do you realize that most of the people in the world will be lost? Only a few will be saved. And that's what Jesus said right here in Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Or do you want to follow the masses to destruction? Or do you want to follow Jesus to eternal life? God's word will judge us. It does judge us, and ultimately it will be our judge in the last day. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 16, verse 16. Jesus said, the words that I have spoken, the same will judge you in the last day. God's word is our judge, and it reveals to us his will for our life. And his mercy is extended to those who obey him. But his judgment will judge those who deny him. Behold, the goodness and severity of God. God is good. God is gracious. God is merciful. But it amazes me the number of people, as is obvious through social media, who seem to think that they can thumb their nose at God and rest in his grace. Oh, may they find the truth and obey it before it is everlasting too late. The second verse is, you may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most, for the glitter of sin and the things it will win. Have you counted the cost? You may barter your hope of eternity's morn. And so you have this beautiful treasure, this hope of heaven, this salvation found through the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. Will you trade that? You have this peace in your life. Will you trade that for the glitter of sin? Will you trade the pure gold, the streets of gold, for the glitter of sin? Fool's gold. The things that it will win. Is it worth it? Have you counted the cost? And I think of that man or that woman who are on their way to that place to meet someone to break their vows, and I just pray that if that is happening with someone, that they will stop for a moment and consider the cost of that. Look at what you're throwing away for a moment of pleasure. It isn't worth it. I think of that young man, that young woman out with their friends. And all the pressure is there. They're partying. They're having a good time. Come on, join us. Oh, here's a little pill. It won't hurt you. How many times, how many lives have been destroyed by that lie? It won't hurt you. Come on. Take a drink. Everybody else is. Everybody does it. Have you counted the cost? How many are in the grips of alcoholism? How many are slaves to alcohol today who would love to go back to that first sip, that first moment, and make a different choice, but they can't? Have you counted the cost? Brother, sister, before you make that decision, young people, please listen to me. In your youth, you could make a decision that you will pay the consequences for the rest of your life and possibly eternity. But even if you do repent, you could still pay the consequences for the rest of your life. Please count the cost before you choose. Moses knew as he was in Pharaoh's palace, watching his brothers and sisters, the Hebrew people, enslaved. And he had a choice. There he was. He had it all. But he made a choice to serve God and not to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. That would be to kill him. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked for the reward. Reward? What do you mean? Moses, you've got it all. Moses, you've got the fame. Moses, you've got the glory. Moses, you have servants at your command. Moses, you've got it all. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm looking for the reward that matters. And he chose God. Will you choose reward or wrath? Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering? Not knowing the goodness of God leads you to repentance. But in accordance with your hardness and impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. So are you laying up treasures in heaven? Are you choosing those rewards? Jesus reminds us to not lay up for ourselves the riches of this world, but to lay up treasures in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. While the door of his mercy is open to you, ere the depth of his love you exhaust, won't you come and be healed? Won't you whisper, I yield? I have counted the cost. Today is the day of salvation. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to repent. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, a lot of times folks like to stop at the not willing that any should perish, but folks, the alternative to perishing is coming to repentance. And God's desire is for us. God created us. He desires us. He loves us. He wants us to come home to Him. He wants us to dwell with Him for an eternity. But a holy God cannot dwell with sin. You and I are sinful creatures. Except for the blood of Jesus Christ, which washes us from our sins and makes us holy in the sight of God and allows us to dwell in the presence of a holy God. In order for that to take place, there must be repentance. A turning away from sin and a turning to God and having been washed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There is nothing hidden from Him, but we have a merciful high priest who enables us to come boldly to His throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. So will you come to Him in repentance? Will you come to the Lord? Will you turn to Him? Will you give yourself to Him and turn away from sin? It's a choice. It's a choice. And you can't have it both ways. You cannot enjoy the pleasures of sin and enjoy the fellowship of a holy God. You have to make a choice. What will it be? Have you counted the cost? Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word gets down into us to our very soul, discerns us, and causes us to look at ourselves in the mirror of His word. And there is no creature hidden from His sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. You can fool men. You can even fool yourself. But you can't fool God. Seeing then, and we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Oh, yes, you are tempted by sin. Oh, yes, you do sometimes give in. Oh, yes, there are times that you are discouraged. But that doesn't have to determine who you are. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, you can boldly approach the throne of grace and receive help in the time of need. But friend, you need His help. You need His strength. And you need your brothers and sisters in Christ, because we are in this together. Throw off the snare. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. I have a question for you. Are you in the snare of the devil? Be honest with yourself. Because now is the time to do something about it. You're here on Super Bowl night. That says something about you. It means that you have a heart, you have a desire to serve God. I've been at this a long time, and I've seen a lot. And I've seen good people, leaders, deacons, preachers, elders, caught in the devil's snare. None of us are exempt from that. Will you, through repentance, recover yourself out of his snare? Are you taken captive by him at his will? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now, it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted the cost? You would turn to number 212. It's on PowerPoint. Our guys are on it back there. We're going to sing this song. Cade's going to lead us in an invitation song in a minute. This serves as an invitation song for us quite often. And I want to suggest that if you're convicted, if you're pricked by the Word of God, just go ahead and come on up. And let God, most importantly, help you get started back on the right path before you go so far that you reach the point of no return. There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of His Spirit is lost. And you hurry along with the pleasure-mad throne. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted?
order your hope of eternity's morn. For a moment of joy at the most, for the glitter of sin and the things it will win, have you counted? Have you counted?
You and I go from this place, we go into a world that is governed by the Prince of Darkness. And at each step of the way, there are going to be moments of decision. Child of God, I hope that this has reminded us all tonight, before we speak, before we act, before we make a decision, let us count the cost. And if you will do that, it will serve you well in life. If you will always stop for a moment and count the cost of your actions, count the cost of your words, it will help you not only to be faithful to God, but it will help you in so many ways in this life, in your relationships, and most of all, and most importantly, your relationship with God. If you're not a child of God tonight, then we offer through the singing of this song a means of encouragement to you to come to Him and obey the gospel. Turn away from sin, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be buried with Him in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins. If tonight you were a child of God, somewhere along the way, you've allowed sin, you've allowed Satan into your heart, into your life. And tonight, you can turn that all around. And if we can pray for you, for that, or for any other reason, would you come while together we stand and sing?